Well, today we're going to talk about body, and I think the way to get into the discussion, and also I want to remind everybody that I'm just leading a discussion. I'm not sermonizing. I don't sermonize. But I'm leading a discussion. So if you have an idea about something that comes up after I start or whatever, feel free to jump right in. It's just like that bluegrass concert that we were talking about earlier that, you know, everybody comes in. If you know the song, you get to sing. So if you have an idea about the song, jump right in. So I think the best thing to do is to go back over what we've learned so far, because not too long ago, I think it was Pita, I believe, talked about spirit. And we learned that the spirit is the life intelligence, and it's conceived entirely apart from the physical embodiment and the physical essence. It's life, it's the life force, and it's free of matter. Then we learned, Judy, I think for the last time, spoke about soul and its creative medium of spirit, the paint, the glue, the clay, the mirror of the mind, reflecting the forms of our thoughts. And today we're going to talk about, and I want you all to join me in discussing, the body. And it's the outward form. The body is the outward form, the body of God. It's the inner essence of God made manifest outward. That which holds, that which has gone before, the body of God includes all of the bodies, even the... Holmes uses the term lesser bodies, and I'm not quite sure what he means by that. I think probably, I don't know, I think we could probably say animals would fit in there. I don't know. I don't think of animals being lesser bodies, but anyway.
I was thinking that he meant like the emotional body. Corporal bodies.
Yeah, corporal bodies. Because anything that's an effect, an outward effect, is considered body.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be the body of your finances. It could be the body of your marriage, your relationship, your relationships. It could be the body of your work, what you do in the world. So those are the things. Holmes had wrote in The Science of Mind that the universe is called the Great Trinity or Triune, unity of spirit, soul, and body. Our bodies are the result and the effect of the spirit that resides within us. It's the divine intelligence that resides within us. Soul is the material, the plastic, or the receptive medium, we decided. The plastic and the clay. The body is the result of the spirit working through soul and through law to manifest as physical reality. The soul is visible and invisible, or the body is visible and invisible, and this is has to do with immortality as well. Some people believe that we have a physical body as well as a spiritual body that looks pretty much like our body looks now. However, no one has ever seen that. Unless, you know, I don't know, maybe a ghost or something would be... I don't know, anyway.
Is that what some people, I mean, some religious call it, the astral body?
The astral body? Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I visualize.
Good point. And behind all of our objective forms is the idea which it projects, what protects it, which is the divine intelligence, the soul, the spirit of God. When we're doing treatments, we always say that the soul and the spirit that our words are the creative medium, right?
Our
word is the thought that goes into the law
right.
that manifests it.
The law is the creative medium. Body is the effect, it's never the cause. Our body is always an effect. So whenever we have like a thought that in science of mind, we're taught that if you have a thoughts of things, it can be changed. Like say, for instance, you have a thought of fear of not having enough. Well, you can change that thought in the next breath. We were talking about that earlier before everybody arrived, and know that and change that whole thought and change that whole process in yourself and have that experience instantaneously, as instantly as you have consciousness of spirit working in your life. So how do you get this consciousness? You do it through meditation, treatment, and affirmation, positive affirmation. That's the tools that practitioners use. And if you can't do it yourself, then you go to a practitioner to help you to come to that conclusion, because the practitioners have been trained, or a practitioner is, and I'm not saying a licensed practitioner per se, but we do have those available here, and we know how to pray scientifically. But I mean, anybody who's had that kind of training, a practitioner to me is anybody who's decided to live their life based on the principles of science of mind. So the body expresses intelligence. There's the intelligence of God, which is led by our consciousness, which permeates it. Consciousness is not of the body, but through the body. So if I become conscious of this cup being half full, is the cup really half full, or is it half empty? You know, it's my consciousness of it. I have plenty. Mm-hmm. But in my consciousness, you know, is if it's half full or if it's half empty. And same with our finances. If our bank account is depleted, are we saying that we are poor and that we're depleted, or that there's room for more of the stuff to come in, the body of God to come in? That's another. It brings up a really good point. Is that I heard what the minister out in California, Michael Beckwith, said. When we pray, we don't pray for things per se. We pray for more God. We pray for more consciousness of what's already out there and present in our lives. So we're not necessarily praying for things, because if our thought and our consciousness is high enough, Jesus even said that these things, whatever you pray for, you have instantly. I mean, he demonstrated that many, many times. Like the time he told one of his followers to go and pick up the fish and take the coin out and go pay his taxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, he also, when you're in right consciousness, and you're the embodiment of right consciousness, these ideas, like your intuition is working like overtime, and you'll just know what to do, where to go, what to do to make things happen. You know, we say in science of mind, you don't treat, you treat and you move your feet. You just keep going. Because you might meet somebody along the road that has an answer to your question. How many times in my life have I, you know, it's like, I don't know where things are coming from or what's going to happen or whatever. But I just get myself out of the way. I remember one time I started working with Thelma Tucker, who was the oldest member at the Celebration Center at the time. And one day it just struck me that I was through with this job that I was working at, the place where I was working, and I needed something different. So I set up a time to have a session with Thelma Tucker, and we treated for a new job, a new expression. I am not kidding you. Within 24 hours, I had a brand new job, and it was so completely out of the blue. A guy literally came and sat in my chair. This is when I was doing hair, and called me back like an hour later and says, "Do you want to come to this new place to work?" And I was there within a week. That's how quickly it works. And I was there for a long time. So when we're receptive, when the body is receptive, or when the consciousness is there, the body cannot help but to manifest a new job, a new car, perfect health. Because what a thought, our thoughts, our words are creative, and they pour forth into this medium or this through the law. This what was it? I was in a play at the Celebration Center, and it was like spirit descending through law to manifest as physical reality. That's what we are, and we're the physical reality of our thoughts. I'm the physical reality of the thoughts of my mother and father. We're all that. I'm living in a wonderful home, which is body, because of my thought, which came to me as a gift out of the blue too. And I've been there for about 14 years. And so, anybody have anything to add to it?
Well, part of what, I didn't reread my email, so I couldn't remember what the topic was today. So this is like right off the top of my head. But part of what I'm aware of, and we're sort of, Carla and I were kind of talking about this at lunch yesterday in the Foundations class, but it seems like with religions, or churches that are more like science and mind, you have a lot of people who are very aware of what they put in their bodies. And I think one of the things that I've become aware of is that the degree to which I take care of my body has a significant impact on my level of intuition or my ability to connect or my ability to create. And that, like, I think that's like part of it is getting to that point where it's sort of like what you said, not getting in the way, mm-hmm. and starting to understand that there are certain things that get in the way when you're not taking care of your body or when you're, and it does seem like I don't know if anybody's ever done this research, but that there is a correlation between people who have these types of spiritual beliefs and are vegan, or not that I'm vegan, but are looking at foods differently and how to take care of their bodies differently, and are probably more likely to be doing that and more likely to be taking care of their bodies than other people, I think, because it's just so clear that it makes such a difference in your connection.
But I agree with taking care of your body. I mean, I agree with you in theory, but then I hear of people all the time. Like, I heard of an old guy who drank a pint of whiskey and smoked two cigars a day and ate like a horse and lived to be over 100 years old.
Is that the general rule?
Yeah.
Across humanity, it's the general rule that... Well, if we reverse that, were we saying that people should drink a pint of whiskey and smoke a cigar?
Here's one. Here's a Jacob. I vote for that. I'm just asking.
Personally, I think it's consciousness. If you are It's our consciousness.
It's how we view it as how it's going to affect us. So
right, it's how our thought about it.
And if we choose to have that whiskey and three cigars and we see it as a benefit to us
or
a joy, then it will be. Mm-hmm. And if we see it as, you know, our cancer is already growing, it will.
Mm-hmm. And you hear
we don't have to be the greatest meditator. We don't have to be vegan. There is no set way that is going to make us closer to God or anything. It is what we feel is best for us, and if we view it that way, by golly, it is. That's the secret.
I resonate with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Moderation being a good guide.
I would say moderation, but Dennis brings up all of these people that they never get out of their chair. They don't do anything that we would see as, you know, beneficial, and yet for them, that is their throne, that is their place to be. And there is no, this is the wonderful part, there is no one way that, you know, in the early 80s they had the one way to meditate. Now, isn't that a joke? But, you know, because there is no one way for any of us. It's our way.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as we are the same, we are individuals. And I know many a psychic at Lilydale that, boy, do they party and drink. And they have so much fun. And as they're having their joy, they're, you know, it's also an attempt to get back into their body because so many of them, that's an issue, is trying to stay grounded. And they just don't have issues. Some do, some don't. So
yeah, and I guess I was just saying, like, I've come to the awareness that for me,
okay,
there are things that I can do that help my consciousness and my intuition, and then there are other things that clearly make it so much murkier or get in the way or are
you've become conscious of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's your consciousness.
It's my consciousness.
It's your consciousness.
So when I think of the body, when you're talking about the subject, that's what was going through my mind. That
I'm talking
part
about
part of the awareness is taking care of that piece.
Right. And you know, and you can change that. You can eat, you can, like for instance, you can eat whatever you want. You just got to change your consciousness about what you eat. You have to say, everything that I eat, what I choose to eat, nourishes me on every level of my being. Like, it nourishes my cells. So then the divine intelligence takes over, that spirit within us takes over, and you're only attracted to those foods which will nourish you and support you in your affirmation of it. Does that, is that?
And also, Chris, I have a friend that, you know, when Whole Foods came, everything had to be organic and this and that, and I honestly could not afford $4 a pound for my tomatoes. And so what I came up with is, you know, what we have been doing forever, which is saying a prayer.
Absolutely.
A blessing. And what I consciously did was, not only did I wash it, of course, but I blessed it, knowing that it was going to be pure for me.
Ernest Holmes says that we have dominion over any contagion at all. I mean, there have been people, and proof positive is now, you know, all the hoopla with the
swine
flu. It's like, you know, here you had the Egyptians who were going out and murdering killing all of their swine and everything, and then you have people who are around swine flu who don't take the shot or won't take the shot, who aren't being touched by it at all. Sure.
You know, the body wants to default to health. It doesn't want to default to illness. And all we have to do is watch what we're doing and stay out of the way. And the body will want to be healthy. And on the subject of spirituality, stress, eating, I find that at the times when I have gone through spiritual initiations, that if I fast, my body gets out of the way. If I have stuff in my stomach, the energy wants to go there to break it down. That's tremendous hard work for the body. Your little chemistry set has to break down the food with chemicals. Mucus goes in, hormones, acids, all these chemicals have to go in there. The mucus protects everything. Then the food is broken down. Your body massages it to make it into a liquid. And then it takes out the garbage later on. Then when you absorb, that is when the food is inside the body. Otherwise, you're just a tube. You're a tube. You take something in the tube, you drop it down there, it comes out the other end. Now, all that stuff that comes out the other end was not inside the body. It's inside the body when the walls of your intestines draw out the nutrients. Then those things are part of the body. And anything that acts on the body is stress. A good meal is stress. Thursday night bowling is stress. This talk is stress. My waistband is stress. But how we accept that and deal with it, that is a big, big issue. So go out and have that great meal. Know what's in the meal. Know what it's doing for you or to you. Accept it, deal with it. But the guilt is the worst thing. I think the guilt turns food into poison.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, is a good thing to deal with. That's the kind of stress that we don't need.
Louise Hayes says the same thing. I mean, she has this book called You Can Heal Your Life, where it has certain causes or effects, and she gives you the spiritual cause for that, and then she also gives you the cure, you know, a positive affirmation for that. Science of Mind has been a big believer in that kind of stuff for a long time, that for any and every effect there is a spiritual treatment that will affect, you know, will help that, will ease that pain.
And the whole idea is about going back to first cause.
Right.
The thought of humanity is a secondary cause. And that if you take the situation back and you look at it as God sees it, you see the wholeness and you allow the wholeness that was always there to be revealed, mm-hmm. rather than trying to fix something that's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Holmes said it is that there is nothing to be disintegrated or reintegrated. And I paraphrase the rest of a very long flowery paragraph to say there is only the wholeness to be revealed that has always been there. And that really summarizes the way treatment works for me now, is that I don't try to fix the problem. I go to see the wholeness and then trust that wholeness is in the process of being revealed, because that's mm-hmm. the natural thing to happen.
Also,
it's that the body wants to be healthy.
And that's exactly what the Sikhs believe in their Kundalini yoga, and when they do healing work, is to be in the neutral place, which is the what they call the sacred place.
Mm-hmm.
And there is absolutely no attachment to the outcome for the person or for the healer doing the work. There is no attachment to the process itself, what technique is used. It's standing back and, like Connie was saying, allowing it, the wholeness from within that person, the healing from within the person you're working on, to be revealed or not.
Mm-hmm.
And in their time, not your time, which of course was a big one for me, because I wanted it now. I wanted them to be totally healed and, you know, whatever. And quite a learning experience for me when I did read about this and I understood that neutral place as being the sacred place. And then extending that, you know, when I was conscious, to apply to the rest of my life and how I viewed things.
But I think what Connie is saying is that we have this physical body, but we also have a spiritual body which is whole, perfect, and complete in every way. Mm-hmm. And nothing we can do can desecrate that. Nothing that we can do to our bodies, the food we take, the words that we use, no matter what we do, even if we kill ourselves, if we kill our physical bodies, we cannot desecrate the spiritual body, which is perfect,
right,
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are doing healing treatment, what we recognize is the fact that it is the spiritual body is perfect.
Absolutely.
And we look for that, and when we recognize that our spiritual body is perfect, then our physical body has to come into alignment with our new thinking. So that's the reason we can say that we can have dominion over anything outwardly. That's the reason we say we have dominion over whatever is happening in our lives now. We can heal that through the process of a new thought, speaking our word, affirmation, meditation, and getting a better idea of the Christ within, that perfect divine intelligence, Christ, the divine intelligence, the archangels within us that can never be desecrated in any way. And when we do that, we raise our consciousness, we raise our intuitive abilities, and our world and our situation changes, and we are projected up out of that, those lesser things, into something even greater. Anybody have anything else?
I have a little something on the subject of scrolling up in our conversation here about treat, but use your feet. I love that. I love this. It's a little parable. It's short, I promise. A minister was walking down a country road on a hot summer day, and he saw a farmer in the field toiling away, sweating, plowing. And he called out to the farmer, "God has certainly blessed you with a beautiful farm." And the farmer called back and said, "Yes, but you should have seen it when he had it all to himself."
I know it.
So there, using our feet, taking charge. Thank you.
I love that.
That is cute. I was thinking about a way to view the body as a vessel for being, there's a pharmacy that we're born with, and all of the chemicals are available, everything we need is available to keep everything running and smooth and in order, and that we have that pharmacy that we carry with us, and that we can call to whatever part of our body whatever is needed. But it's good to know that fear is a resistance to the flowing of what we need to whatever part of the body that's calling for attention. So
what would we treat then?
Well, when we realize how much power we have, all the control that we have on our own, factory, then that fear goes away, because there's no need to fear. I don't care if it's cancer or whatever it is, we have within us whatever we need to repair ourselves, or to change the flowing of cells on a cellular level.
But if you were coming to me as a practitioner for that, I wouldn't treat for the effect. I would be inclined to treat for the fear.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's the source. That is a focus, is a focal point of where
right.
problems.
You're fearing that you're not connected. And I would want to get you out of that fear and into the connection, because it's the connection where the true healing of the physical manifestation,
mm-hmm.
that the physical thing that you're experiencing now is happening.
See, I see as fear is like broadcasting on all frequencies.
Fear is the little death that is the mind killer.
Yeah.
I will face my fear. It will go around me and through me. And when it is gone, I shall remain. From Dune.
Mm.
Paraphrased.
Mm. And fear is the opposite of love. There are psychologists who would say that those are the two emotions.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And all of the aversions based on fear, all of the attractions based on love.
I say it a different way. There's only two things that we're afraid of: living and death.
That's profound.
Yeah, we're afraid of living and death. Marianne Williams said, "If we only knew how great we were, we wouldn't. we would never. You know, we could just do. We can move mountains. We could look at something mm-hmm. and say, move. Be gone.'"
But I think, like what you said about the fear broadcasting on all frequencies. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's part of the whole body thing, is making sure that, I mean, I don't know enough about electronics, but making sure that your signal is clear.
Absolutely.
I guess and I think that fear is one of the things that gives you static mm-hmm. on every channel.
Ooh, and right, right. Good way to put it.
Snow.
Yeah, and like guilt or the judgment piece.
But I think fear is the biggie.
Yeah,
personally.
But like,
to me, that's the bottom line.
That's a common.
Fear is the bottom line.
Yeah, it is the bottom of the barrel.
But I guess I'm thinking in terms of the frequency analogy.
Yeah.
That it's like part of the body, like maybe the body's like the radio or the hardware that in order to get the connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to fine tune.
And you have to, and like we were playing on our, we have Fios, mm-hmm. and I was going through a pile of mail and I saw this Fios ad. Why they're trying to get me to buy Fios when I already have it, I don't really understand. But so it was describing what it had on it, and it has this new thing called widgets. So last night, we played with the Fios thing, and we've had Fios forever. And there's actually something, and I think it's relatively new, so I'm not too far behind, but there's actually something on the Fios that you can get all the NFL scores, you can play Sudoku, and you can get your Facebook, the entire thing on your TV. Mm. And I thought, wow. Here I've had this system, and it clearly it has access to all this stuff, and I had no idea it was there. Mm-hmm. And it was just sort of a fluke that I happened to sit down and read my mail. And had I not looked at my mail, I would have no idea that. I mean, I should have just tossed the thing, but I did read it, and now I know that there's all this stuff. And now I'm going to go tell other people that there's
thanks
so
for
that
coming.
Other people have access to this information mm-hmm. that probably nobody knows what it is.
Yeah, one of the beauties of education and communication is the spreading of the knowledge of just how much we have access to. That's there that we don't know, and that's the blessing. One of the many blessings of technology is to transmit that, have that body of information a lot more available.
But we do have that body of information all the time. It's just that we become conscious of it.
The awakening.
It's you had to be conscious of the fact that there was something that you were missing. On some level, you were conscious of that you were missing something. So your consciousness is saying, oh, okay, I know, you were saying to yourself, I know that I'm missing something here. Maybe you not weren't doing it consciously, but there was something behind all that activity that kept prompting you. That was your intuition.
But probably. I guess I'm just using the analogy that it's like,
but I'm saying,
anything is the
right
hardware.
Right.
Like the body is the hardware.
Right, but you had to be conscious of.
It's a good analogy because as you questioning, the act of questioning and curiosity is like enhancing your life force in every way. So when you just become curious about this button on your remote, so what's that? That event that happened, that little question that came up, well, that's how everything that we see, hear, and feel and do came around. Someone would say, oh, what's that? You know? Mm-hmm. And it's because it's there and you're questioning if this flowing is going. You know, and then that new experiences and enhanced information can come because you open the door for it. You have that crack open just a little bit, And, you know, think about the inspirations that anything, you know, of everything that has happened in the world, they all comes through that same process. I think it's marvelous. It's like it's maybe how everything works. Inspiration, you know, how do you get inspired? It's not really talking about the body, but
of course it is. Inspiration is body.
It can come into the body. It can be a part of the body.
It is a part of the body.
Part of the physical chemistry
of
the brain.
It's an effect. Anything outwardly, inwardly, even inwardly, is body. It's either part of the physical body, or it's part of the ethereal body or the soul body. So everything is body. So you hit him there. I want to. We have to move on, but I want to leave you with a reading from Ernest Holmes. It's on page 145. If you want to read, if you have the book with you, you want to read with me, and it says, "The point to remember is that all mind activity inevitably tends to create its physical correspondent. Thoughts are things." They have the power to objectify themselves. Thought lays hold of causation and forms real substance, body. The word of man is the law of his life. Under the one great law of all life, thoughts of sickness can make a man sick, and thoughts of health and perfection can heal him. Thought is the conscious activity of the one thinking, and works as he directs through law, and this law may be consciously set in motion. This law will work for him to the fullest extent of his belief in and understanding of it. A realization of the presence of God is the most powerful healing agency known to the man, the mind of man. Mm.
Could you read that last sentence again?
A realization of the presence of God is the most powerful healing agency known to the mind of man.
That's so true.
Very. Very resonant.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, guys.